Good afternoon, everyone. So, sometimes why it's so difficult to be able to focus when we meditate, and sometimes outside meditations, some of the practice is also important because when we develop that habit, actually those qualities is help us in our meditation, because it's not only when sitting on a meditation cushion. And before we sit on the meditation cushion, and that is quite important, you know, how we live our life, and our attitude is important. So the Buddhas again and again mention this Noble Four Path. So this Noble Four Path, they divide into threefold of practice. That is a sila, morality, samadhi, as a stillness, and panya, wisdom. So now today I want to focus on the samadhi group. The samadhi group is mixed up of the right effort, stillness, and then they translate as right concentration. Concentration is not, actually it's more like stillness and right mindfulness. So an effort, these three is a group. These three has to come together. So that's why if you just, you know, the right effort, today I would like to focus on the right effort, because many people confuse, you know, right effort. You ask me to put forth effort, you know, you have to put forth effort, and then you ask us not doing anything. So I'm confused, you know, many people say that. Actually, when we said right effort, actually the effort into restraining our mind. Because sometimes we don't know how to restrain our mind. We don't know how to stop the mind. You know, from especially when the Buddhas mention about the right effort, actually it's always referred to the four right effort. So when an unwholesome thoughts arises, you know, not to allow unwholesome thoughts to arise. And if the unwholesome thoughts has arises, and then we try to stop it. And the third one, we try to replace the unwholesome thoughts with wholesome thoughts. And then we try to maintain that. Because if we don't we can unable to restrain this wholesome thoughts, sometimes just a little thoughts just pops up. And it's just like the Buddha mentioned in one of the suttas, you know, this little thoughts, you know, pops up, especially if something that is unskillful and unwholesome and or negative thoughts. And actually it's like those flies eggs, you know? And it's what is hash is a spread, isn't it? The thoughts is like that, one little thoughts. If we are not mindful, we react to the thoughts and we feed your thoughts, you know? And it started to spread, isn't it? Little, and then you lash on one thought to another, you start to write a book, you know? And that is to restrain that. Because especially with negative thoughts, actually it's very draining, use up lots of energy. So, and when sitting meditation, sometimes people can't sustain because you don't have enough energy. So that little thoughts, you know, that especially unwholesome thoughts, you know, that leads to negative emotion, and they use up a lot of energy. It's very draining. So that's like in daily life, because normally I encourage people to that, you know, to develop that habit, you know, in our daily life, to practice present moment awareness and more aware of any little thoughts arises, and aware that this is unwholesome, to restrain, you know, our negative or unwholesome thoughts so that we don't feed those thoughts, you know. And then we try to bring up positive or wholesome thoughts. And one of the practice that I find it very useful, I used to do it in every morning breakfast, you know. Sometimes I deliberately bring up the thoughts of loving kindness. When I eat my food, I share, you know, that I think of all the beings contribute to the food. And it's making it a habit of thinking that what I can give, you know, today, what can I help, you know, rather than thinking what I can, you know, I can take or I can get something out of it, you know. And this is the Buddha said you develop this a wholesome, habitual mental pattern. Because sometimes people, you use it, isn't it? Because when the Buddha said when you develop into a certain habit, it's like a default setting. Even though we know that those unwholesome thoughts is no good, but you can't help yourself. Sometimes you even looking for it. Sometimes we think that the thoughts come to look for us. Actually, we go out to look for it. Because when we are, especially when we feel bored, you know, and we look for something, you know. And then especially not to develop into getting angry to get the energy. Some people, they get into the habit of being angry to get the energy. Because when they feel bored, when they're angry, they feel alive, you know. But the kind of energy come from anger, especially, you know, some people keep telling me that, I know that being angry is no good, but I can't help myself. Like, each time I want to get angry, because you feel, when you get angry, you feel alive. You don't feel bored, you know. And because when it becomes a habit, and it's like an addiction, you can't help it, you know. That's why not to develop that. That's why when we do this, actually we develop into we call it like a good habit that leads us to peace and calm. So when we maintain that, you know, we bring this, you know, we contemplate and reflect on our virtue, our goodness, the good things that we have done. So when we reflect on that, it gives us lots of happiness. Like you have time, if morning, you just spend a little bit of time reflecting on that, all the goodness, all the good things you have done, and to arouse the energy. And this kind of energy, the happiness that you feel good about yourself, you know, that kind of energy is different, isn't it? If you have lots of joy, and this kind of happiness, this kind of a joy, you know, it actually equivalent to energy. You feel bright, you know, that kind of energy. Like then you feel bright, and that's helped you, and then you develop the habit that, you know, then you become more aware, you know, like in a daily life. Sometimes if you whenever you pick up it, that unwholesome thoughts, you know, then you quickly, sometimes you can do it a little. Yesterday I did mention some of the practices actually is useful, because sometimes you cannot just sit and meditate when you're outside, isn't it, while you're working. Sometimes whenever you're aware that this little thought that is being unwholesome arises, and you can do the breathing, you know, you can just sit it, you know, you're just breathing in these unwholesome thoughts, breathing out peace, make peace with that, so that you bring your mind, you know, take your mind away from following the unwholesome thoughts. You can do it anywhere, you know, with just the breathing, you know, breathing in, you know, those unwholesome emotions, unwholesome thoughts, breathing out peace. You can do that, and that to stop the mind, you know, from going further. We said nip it on the bud. When it's small, it's easy. When you feed your these unwholesome thoughts and it's developed and become really, you know, you started to get emotionally upset, and that is a bit difficult to control. That's why it's important that in daily life you practice that, you're more aware. And actually it's helped you, and it's helped you to strengthen your mindfulness, to develop your mindfulness, you become more aware. Sometimes, isn't it, when our mindfulness is strong, the moment that unwholesome thoughts arise, it subsides very quickly, isn't it? It's just like your mindfulness is sharp enough, you just cut it up immediately. When our mindfulness is not strong enough, it's just like a blunt knife, you know? You try to chop, 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 and it's still dangling, you know, not quite there. And then it's, oh, well, you know, unwholesome, well, you still go in, you know? That kind of, because your mindfulness is not sharp enough. That's why it's important in daily life, you know? That's why sometimes, like Ajahn Brahm used to say that you're making a good meditation karma, actually how you live your life, the way, you know, your attitude, you know, how you practice, actually is not only that moment you sit on the cushion. You know, you develop that habit, you make it into a habit, like just like become natural and just part of you. And that, you know, just bring it back, you know, just do the breathing in, unwholesome, or whatever thoughts or emotion, you know, and breathing out peace. Then actually there is an imprint in your mind that you, when you say peace, breathing out peace. So actually, yeah, just brainwash yourself that you're making peace with that. Whatever feelings, you feel whatever emotion, you know, or any negative thoughts, you make peace with that. Because we said right effort is not to get rid of it. The harder you try to get rid or stop yourself, you know, from that thinking, actually you think more, isn't it? You find it more. But sometimes you use a bit of skillful means, you know. So you just bring your, you just do the breathing exercise. You can do anywhere, you know, the mindfulness of breathing, like you breathing in, you know, unwholesome emotion, unwholesome thoughts, and breathing out peace. You embrace that it's okay that I feel that way, and that takes your mind away. And then it's good that we make it a practice that every day we try to arouse and deliberately have a thoughts of loving kindness, and also reflecting on the good things you have done, all the generosities, and to arouse energy. And the contemplation and reflection also, you can do it before your meditation. Before your meditation, you just sit down, you can do the reflection first, you know, to bring up the happiness. So when your mind becomes happy, you're brighter, you have more energy, you're more energetic. And then the kind of energy actually they give you, they lead to peace. You know, then you have the joy and happiness, then you let go of the joy or happiness, because the kind of joy and happiness still have a little bit of excitement. So you let go of that, you go into the peace, but it's a more subtle happiness, more subtle joy, the joy of peace. So when your mind becomes peaceful, then you start to put your attention onto your meditation object like breath. And actually it's very easy. When you become peaceful, isn't it? Very easy to watch your breath. And you feel so nice, and you feel so soothing. So even the breath itself, you know, sometimes actually how we perceive our breath actually is come from our mind. When your mind is happy, your breath is different, isn't it? When we are agitated, irritated, how do you feel? You feel your breath is so tight, you know, you feel that not soothing at all. You feel that kind of tightness is there, you know. But when you're happy, the breathings, you feel so smooth, and you feel happy. You have the happiness, you know. You feel lots of joy. So actually, you can do that before your meditation to bring up the joy, and so that you have more energy, be able to sustain. Because sometimes we've been worrying a lot and we're thinking a lot in our daily life. Actually, it drains our lots of mental energy, use up lots of mental energy. So when you know, imagine whole day you've been having all the negative thoughts. And imagine if you sit down, you know, you want to meditate, you think that it's easy to meditate, it's difficult, isn't it? You already drain your, you know, all your energy, all your mental energy gone, already drained, you know, because negative thoughts leads to negative emotion, and they use up lots of mental energy. And all this is important in your daily life, you know. And also it's helped you to establish and develop your mindfulness before you sit on meditation. So when you sit on meditation, your mind becomes peaceful and still easily. So when your stillness increase, when you go back to daily life, and you on your daily life practice, it's helped you to strengthen your mindfulness. So they're both way, you know. Yes, your mindfulness strengthen, and it's helped to increase your stillness. Your mind become more and more still. And as your mind become more and more still, and you go back to your daily life, you become more and more aware, more alert. Your mind is really bright. And sometimes it's important. And some people think that, oh, maybe, you know, only if I have enough time, only if I can have more time to sit and meditate, then I will get enlightened. But, you know, if you are unable to restrain your thoughts, you know, it's very difficult to restrain your speech and your action, isn't it? So, like, that needs mindfulness, like keeping precept, you know. Actually, you need to have enough mindfulness in order to restrain yourself. Is imagine if someone don't even have basic mindfulness, unable to restrain their thoughts, restrain their speech and action. That is a very basic mindfulness, isn't it? If we don't have that, how come we have mindfulness, it, you know, the super duper mindfulness is the level of mindfulness is really strong. When we are in deep meditation, you need that kind of mindfulness that is very sharp, you know. And of course, we have to always look back, you know, that investigate why, you know, I feel tired, why I have no energy. Then sometimes, oh, you have to investigate, or maybe during the day in my life that I'm thinking too much, you know, worrying too much, and the drain loss of energy, and then maybe being too negative, you know. Then we can practice this in daily life, apply this in our daily life, you know, to really, you know, bring up, you know, deliberately bring up the thoughts of loving kindness and reflecting on your own goodness, reflecting all the good things you have done, you know. That's why Buddha's encourage us like to practice generosity, you know, to give, because they support your meditation. Because meditation is only one part. Because Norway Prophet, you have other seven factors. That's why it's important that you be able to restrain daily life, our speech, our thoughts, our action. And that actually helps us to develop our mindfulness, establish our mindfulness, because we are more aware that, okay, yes, this is not a good thing to say, and this is not a good thing to do, and the thoughts will lead me to the unwholesome emotion. And you're more aware of that in your daily life, and it's helped you to establish your mindfulness. And when you sit on your cushion, it's easier. You know, it's not that some people try to use willpower, you know, to try to make, yeah, we'll get you just, you know, some people even use willpower, you know, you can use willpower to focus, and even some people got nimitta, but that won't last long. Eventually you can't stay, because you use willpower, it won't stay. You have to come from that energy, that letting go, you know, energy that, you know, you, because stopping our mind from using willpower or doing, you know, stopping the mind from going into unwholesome state of mind. And it's not, when we said we put forth effort, it's not that we try to, not the effort not into doing, but into stopping the mind. Because sometimes it's very difficult for us not to do anything, isn't it? It's very easy to do something. Whenever there is any unwholesome or unpleasant feelings or whatever, We want to try to get rid of it. So don't try to get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. When you get rid of it, actually you reinforce that, you're feeding it. So actually you have to letting go, actually you letting be. But that is quite difficult. That's why you have to restrain your mind from doing, from getting rid of things. You just let it be. That's why some of the skillful means that I've mentioned, you can do the breathing in and breathing out in a piece. Actually, whatever words you want to use, what more click to you, you know, sometimes you feel that you prefer to use that any words that really you feel more click, you know, then you use that. To me, like, I find it, because when I use peace, that actually is an imprint and brainwash and telling your mind, you know, try to program your mind that I'm making peace with these unwholesome thoughts, you know, this is peace, I embrace it, it's okay, making peace with that moment. And this is how you develop and just strengthen your mind. And when you have more energy, then it's easier to sit. And when you can do that, contemplating, or you can contemplate, or you reflect, you know, on the things that you have done, the good things that you have done before you sit. Then when your mind becomes peaceful, then you start to put your attention onto your breath. Okay? So we can start meditating now. Just choose a comfortable posture.
Just relax. And bring your mind to this present moment. Appreciating this moment, the effort you have made to come here, to appreciate the effort, and just happy just being here. If there's any unwholesome or agitation, irritations, whatever arises in this moment, it's just breathing in the agitation, irritation, whatever feelings that you're experiencing now, and breathing out peace. So breathing in, whatever you experience that is unpleasant right now, and breathing out peace. We just embrace whatever unpleasant feelings, whatever experience that is unpleasant, make peace with that. As your mind become peaceful, just put your attention onto your breath, your meditation object.
From USA. Can you please talk about distinction between restraining and suppressing in meditation? Is this what Ajahn Brahm calls being control freak? How do we find wholesome balance? Okay. Then restraining and suppressing is that restraining, actually you're more aware that this is unwholesome, but suppressing is like you're not aware. Like it's become a habit. You do it like automatic pilot, you know. Like sometimes, like because of we are not aware and then out of habit that because of this, we just don't like the feelings. We don't like that unpleasant feelings, and then we try to get rid of it. We try to push it, and then it's go away. Then slowly we develop that habit, and then whenever that's comes up, we suppress. But restraining, actually you're more aware that this is unwholesome till you have the awareness that you're not going to follow that unwholesome thoughts. They said this is a different. Suppressing is that you're not knowing, like not aware of that. It's just mostly is out of habit. So once we condition the mind. So when we develop, like the Buddha said, when we repeatedly, you know, doing the same thing again and again, actually we harden into a habit, and it becomes quite ingrained. So that restraining, that because we be aware of that this is something that is unwholesome, that is lead us to, unwholesome state of mind, then we restrain ourselves to follow that thoughts. That's why there's a difference between restraining and suppressing. Suppressing, actually, you are feeding it. You know, when you suppress it, actually you're feeding that emotion, and like next time become stronger and stronger and stronger. It's just like you push it away. But restraining, you're aware of that, and sometimes that you can you let it be and it will subside, or we don't pay attention to it. We know that we don't pay attention to it, and then we bring our mind back to. Sometimes that is the Buddha's talk about the unwise attention. So you wise attention, you just don't place attention. You can use different type of skillful means to not to feed that. But when we suppress, actually, like using willpower to push it away, and that is suppressing. And in fact, we are reinforced that emotion or whatever feelings or whatever thoughts, you know. So we are feeding it, actually. And next time when it pops up again, the intensity of the emotion become greater. It's just like we keep suppressing to a point that you cannot suppress anymore, and it's explode. Because we are putting in more energy, and it's a build up more. You say, is this what Ajahn calls being a control freak? Yeah, we try to control. We try to not to allow that to comes up. We suppress it, you know, we try to control things. It's not like coming from the wisdom, and restraining itself, you have the awareness. How do we find wholesome balance? You have to develop those quality, you know, that sometimes, like one of the saying that you fake it until you make it. Sometimes you have to deliberately, you know, develop that qualities, you know, to bring that up. You know, like sometimes whatever we eat, we think of other beings being contributing, and then whatever we do, you know, then if you have done something good, that's why the Buddha always encourages that if you have done something good, you know, you feel good about that, you know, then you bring that up to reflect on that, all the good things you have done, and learn to appreciate yourself that, okay, this is something, you know, that is wholesome, and is that I have done this, you know, to appreciate that. And it takes time, and when, because the Buddhas again and again mentioned that this is a gradual path. It's slowly, you have to drop by drop, little by little, to develop that qualities. And there's no shortcut. Is there a reading guide that helps you understand your various meditation experience that you feel comfortable recommending? No, I haven't have any reading guides that helps you to understand your various meditation experience that you feel comfortable recommending. I mean, yes, there is one that is Ajahn Brahman is good. You know, that is, we have that one, the basic meditation, that is very good. And other, I don't really know, but the one that I'm more familiar with, because some of the practice that I'm not familiar with is quite difficult, you know. So, but there's Ajahn Brahm, that's the basic meditation. I think they can purchase online, isn't it? I'm not sure. Is it, can we purchase online? Anyone know? We can purchase online? No, because they want to have some reading guide. I think the basic meditation is a very good one. So I don't know whether, normally we give it for free distribution. So yeah, that's the one. Yes, any more questions or comments? Any more questions or comments? No? So we end up this session.